was speaking right to me. I love this passage because it always feels to me like James is speaking right to me. I hate this passage because it always feels like James is speaking right to me. Let me just remind you where we are in the book of James and what James has been talking about before this. James begins this book by reminding us about all God's gifts given to us. All good gifts come from above. And I have suggested the question running through this entire book is, how do we respond knowing that God has given us all these gifts? And so James has been reminding us about faith and love and action. Last week it was about not showing favoritism, not judging others, but instead loving. That's a way we respond to God. And so this week James focuses on the tongue, what we say. And James reminds us, as I was reminding the children, that so often our words, our language can lift up and encourage and inspire, but far too often, and I think perhaps unfortunately increasingly so, words and language can be used to cut down and destroy and hurt. And I think sometimes the poetic nature of the book of James gets lost, but this week, in this passage, James gives us a half dozen very powerful images, metaphors, to guide us in thinking about what we say. So I just want to go through these, I think, amazing images just briefly and what they tell us and how James uses them to remind us of his larger message. First, he begins by talking about the horse, a horse and a bridle. Now, my experience with horses is quite limited, and most of the time when I've ridden a horse, I'm the person pulling and tugging and the horse is still going exactly the opposite direction of where I want it to go. But I suspect if you were had been paying any attention to or gone to watch the event in Tryon, the World Equestrian Games, whatever, yes. I'm sure the people riding the horses there, you'd probably, very subtly, they could just like pull and the horse would just do exactly what they want. Well, notice James says, like a horse and a bridle, where you use the bridle to control the horse. James says, a mark of full maturity in a Christian is being able to control ourselves the same way. Now, of course, James has been talking a lot about actions. Part of being mature in the faith is being self-disciplined in some ways, controlling what we do. But here, of course, he's talking about controlling what we say. And the fact that he says full maturity means those who can perfectly control their tongue. And if that describes you, you are excused from the rest of this sermon. But I was also reminded of what Paul tells the Ephesians, which is very similar, very different language, but very similar in terms of content. This is Ephesians 4. Paul says, we must no longer be children. In other words, we should be mature. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ. That's really what James is saying as well, again, with very different language. If we are going to mature in our Christian faith, it involves learning to control our tongues, like an experienced rider can control the horse with the bridle. And James goes on. His next image is a ship. Consider a ship. And the tiny little rudder that is used to steer it. The tongue is very small, a small part of our bodies. But often it can steer our lives. A good pilot on a ship with that little rudder can steer you right where you want to go. Avoid all the dangers in the river or the ocean. A bad pilot can soon have you stuck on the reef or the rocks. Our tongues are that way, James is saying. They're like tiny rudders. If we control them and use them well, they can steer us in very good directions. If we don't, we might find ourselves floundering on the rocks. James says the tongue is like a little flame. A little flame, you know, that can be good. If you're lighting a candle or lighting a fire in the fireplace or your grill or something, fire can be helpful, that little flame. But those same little flames, if it's a cigarette tossed out of a car out somewhere out west where it's bone dry, or a campfire left unattended, a small little spark, one little spark, can set a whole forest ablaze. And the tongue, James says, is like a little flame. It can be used for good or for not so good. It's around this point that James offers one of my, again, favorite and least favorite verses in all of Scripture, where he says the tongue is a restless evil full of deadly poison, which for some reason always makes me think of snakes. I mean, I know snakes don't, you know, they bite with their poison, but I think of the little snake tongue and our tongues and the poison. I don't know. It always makes me think of that. That we are, but our tongues are like fire. Our tongues are full of poison, or can be. And it depends on how we use them. James goes on to say, think about a spring of water. Some of you, that's where you get your water at your houses. You don't get both salt water and fresh water from a spring. And also, I think James would add to that, once a spring goes bad, too, it's real tough to put it back. But our tongues, our mouths are like springs in that regard. What kind of water comes out of the spring of our mouth? Is it fresh, refreshing water, or is it brackish? Can't be both, James is saying. And then he says, and consider, you don't get figs from an olive tree. Or sorry, does he say you don't get olives from a fig tree? Whichever it is. And you don't get figs from a grapevine. In other words, by your fruit they shall know you. What is the fruit of the words you say throughout the day and the week? Now, obviously, what James is building towards here with this great imagery is this thinking about what we say. And he really, I think, condemns us with this idea of the same mouth too often blesses and praises God one day, and perhaps the other 6 days is cursing the children of God. You can't be someone who, well, you can be, but James is saying we shouldn't be people who are praising God on Sunday mornings and the rest of the week gossiping and slandering and backbiting and kvetching and being negative towards others with our speech. Because, remember that spring, it can't be both salt and fresh water. The reality is, the negative outweighs the positive in that case. And we all know, I think, and probably have experienced in our own lives, one little missaid word or phrase can totally offend and turn someone off. I mean, I've experienced this as a preacher. Despite being very as careful as I can be, one word or phrase I say and someone can say, ah, I'm out of here. But you have that same power over people. One word said in fellowship time, one phrase, something whether intended or not. And it's a lot easier to send people away than it is to get them back. And I don't just mean church, but even into our lives and our communities. Our words are powerful. And yet too often we just throw them around without thinking much. My mother started telling me this when I was in about first grade, and I still haven't learned. I'm trying. I think I only offend people 95% of the time now. It used to be 96, so I'm getting better. But it's tough. But it starts with think. Think before you speak. Think before you write. Think before you say anything. At least try to do that. Especially in today's world, where there's so much language being used to divide and hurt and judge and characterize others. And we all do it. That's what James is saying. But if we are hoping to mature in our faith, we should at least be working on doing better. Maybe that's part of what we can model for the world, the culture, people who are mindful of the effect of our words. Or, as Charlotte said, in about 15 less minutes, think before you speak. So there's our homework for this week. Before you say or write anything this week, think about it. Will this be positive? And notice, Paul says, speak the truth in love. You have to speak truth, and that may not always be a happy thought, but it should be done lovingly. Let's all work on thinking before we speak this week. Put out fires before we start them. Steer our ship and our horse in a good direction. Make sure that the spring of our mouths is producing fresh water and good fruit. Let's work on it this week. Might be the start of something big in our world. Amen.